Oh, Compass, fresh expression of the church, a biblically true, safe environment where people are free to belong, grow, and serve. I was really, really thrilled when we discussed how we wanted to, the beginning of each year, go back to our roots, discuss our mission statement, why we exist, where we're going. I think it's so important because it's so easy to forget and get distracted by lots of things that are happening. Megan last week, with a fresh expression of the church, and turned our thoughts to our center, Jesus. He is always a fresh expression. This week should have followed with biblically true, but I have to be gone next week. And so I talked to Dave, who was supposed to speak this week on biblically true. And I exchanged with him and said, I'm going to be talking about a safe environment. And his reply to me was, a safe environment. And how's that going for you? Well, as I began to put these thoughts together, I definitely came frozen with a volunteer remorse, realizing the challenges of this subject. So, Dave, not going so well. We are a very, very diverse group, as in any group that meets together. Generally speaking, everybody, there's just this great amount of diversity in all fellowships, not just churches, but in everything. And those of you who may be new to Compass or attending for the first time, you're going to notice before long that we have several different speakers because we do not have a paid pastor. In fact, nobody in Compass is paid. We are all volunteers participating because we are passionate about what goes on here, and we are passionate about our mission statement. And when I thought about how some of our speakers would have handled this subject, I'm always humbled. I don't have Dave's biblical proudness and dry sense of humor, Dan's personal candor. I enjoy Greg's gift with numbers and interesting historical research, and Chris has such an easy conversational style. Glenn's intellectual calm logic eludes my teaching style, and I love that Megan keeps us on the cutting edge of awareness, and Jason makes scripture come along with his humorous storytelling abilities. Mark's visual creativity gives us new ways of viewing our spiritual journey, while Michelle's elegant professional relevance keeps us on point. Yes, we are a diverse group, and I'm inspired by these gifted teachers, and I don't claim to measure up, but one thing I can say about my style, I am passionate. And those of you that know me know that. And passionate I am about Compass being a safe environment. I want to take just a minute here and let you share some words with me. When you think of safety or safe or a safe place, what are some of the words that come to mind? Just home. Comfortable. Family.
Security.
OSHA. That's actually very interesting that you said. Anything else? I love this. We're diverse.
With
good. Okay, I can quit now. You've all covered it, so it's good. There are three words that I want to look at in the next few minutes that for me are really important about considering safety, and I'm really quite excited about some of the responses, and I'll share that in a minute. But the first word I want to share is perception. Our family of origin, our cultural backgrounds, our education, our age, our gender, our life experience, all these factors influence our perception that creates our personal reality. And our reality are about what is a safe place or an environment and what that is. So how many people are here today? Hey, numbers. Greg, where are you? How many people have you counted yet? 114 people are here. Each of those 114 represents a different personal view, an individual perception about many things, including what you came in today and expected to find a safe environment. Thus, my state of volunteer remorse and a brain freeze as I attempted to put ideas for this subject together. It truly seemed to be insane to try and bring sanity to the impossible, partly realizing my perceptions may be diversely opposite to some of yours. So where to begin? Let's start with my very favorite text about relationships, found in Philippians 2, 1 through 7. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. We're going to refer back to this text several times in the next few minutes. But generally speaking, Mr. Osha over there, we first of all, when we think of safety, we think of our physical safety. Always. It's always something that's there, keeping us physically safe. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, safety first. Some of the obvious places for safety are, for our physical safety, are the highways while we're driving. There's traffic lights, there's signs, there's speed limits, there's speed bumps and guardrails. No texting while driving, no drinking and driving, along with rules for age limits and tests to pass to say we are safe to drive. There's workplace safety. There's what we wear. There's helmets, goggles, no dangling jewelry, scrubs. There's restrictions that can be brought on what can be brought into the workplace. I remember long time ago when I first moved here and was kind of learning about McKee's. I had a friend who loved to do needlepoint and loved to do, and she says, I can take no needles out of the parking lot, out of my car, into any area, which is kind of a nice thing when you're biting into a Little Debbie's. You know, there's probably not going to be something sharp and dangerous there, but there's so many things. There's security cameras in the workplace. There's security guards. There's recently what's come to light, there are rules, and there's going to be more, about sexual harassment and bullying. How about our schools? We want our kids to be safe. You know, I'm done sending kids off to school, but now, staying with me now, are my grandkids, and every day they go off to school. It's important. They have fire drills. They have crossing guards. They have student pickup procedures and some food restrictions. I think it was in Denver, you couldn't bring peanuts to school because of the allergies, and there's all kinds of things. There's rules for staying together, to staying safe in a group. And I know at the elementary school, when I was there practicing with the kids for the program, the teachers would come out the door with their kids. Here's the parking lot. Here's the church. Here's the school. They'd bring them in a line, and they stayed in line. In a line, they'd go around, clear over by the youth center and down, and back to the church so that they would not cross the parking lot. Safety. In our homes, we have, what do? There's curfews. There's security systems there, too. There's outdoor lights. There's safety glass. There's stair railings. We use hot pads to get things out of the war. We have locks on the doors. And I had to chuckle a little bit as I was thinking about this because I'm a caregiver part-time for my 93-year-old mother who is still on her own. And this is her safe place. By her bed is her nightstand, and then she has a little table. On that nightstand is a flashlight, Kleenex, medic alert, cough drops, a book, a cell phone, eye drops, glasses, a glass of water. These are her safety. These are what she puts by her to feel safe when she lays down at night to go to sleep. Her safety. The scary thing is, my nightstand's beginning to look like that. But she always has a Little Debbie's there too. I just want you to know. So that is my mother's safe place. So physical safety, what does it look like in church? I wanted to know a lot of different perceptions from people. And so I reached out to Facebook and some other avenues and asked for input. And I found it very interesting that really only a few out of the many responses spoke about physical safety. And there was such as providing procedures to keep from falling, wheelchair access, helping elderly maneuver around, protection from predators, responsible adults with children, and so on and so on. The major response, however, spoke of emotional safety. And some of those suggestions about what a safe church and environment should look like were a loving, unconditionally, and not judging, accepted without condemnation, tolerance, right to differing opinions. And somebody put John 3:16, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Using caring with loving private reproof. The standard you use to judge, what Matt read that text this morning, will be the standard by which you are judged. And then somebody just put in the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, that whole hymn, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. To be as Jesus lives, to bless, serve, to comfort, and heal. One compared church to a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. I love that. Not a rest home for saints. It said, let all discussions stem from thus saith the Lord and quit trying to run everybody's lives. A place where all people would be cherished and gossip not welcomed. A church family should be the aroma of Christ to those around them. Church should be a place to accept God's gift of grace. And one response vulnerably said, a place where I can be accepted as my real self, the same way I would be accepted as my sometimes fake happy Sabbath self. I thought they were good. I thought those responses, they varied, you know. I was so pleased to see that. But as we look at these issues of physical and emotional safety, the second word that I want to consider is boundaries. That word has to come to mind. When we look at all the safety issues that we looked at, boundaries everywhere. There were all kinds of boundaries. The dictionary defines a boundary as something that indicates bounds or limits, a limiting or bounding line. So safety always comes with boundaries, and sometimes it's ouch, because we like boundaries as long as they fit into our comfort zone and into our perception of how to view them and use them. A boundary definitely abolishes the anything goes mentality in order to provide safety of every kind. Physical boundaries, safety boundaries, are pretty easily defined and understood. Maybe not so much about people with a lead foot on the gas pedal, but generally accepted, even if we don't like them. But boundaries, when it comes to emotional safety, are a little less clear, and trying to maneuver these waters are muddied with personal perceptions and individual needs, and this is the challenge. Let's go back to our text in Philippians. In humility, value others' interests above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When I looked up this text in Philippians, the chapter heading said, imitating Christ's humility. Imitating Christ's humility. Is this not our goal as Christians, to be like Jesus? Isn't that the reason he came to earth? To show us the Father, so we would know how to live, how to thrive, how to get along. But still the question is, the old adage, when rubber meets the road, what does a safe environment look like, feel like, sound like when we are here at Compass worshiping and interacting together? Let's take a look at a kind of boundary. Let's take a look at a personal boundary and how it is defined. Personal boundaries are guidelines, rules or limits that a person creates to identify reasonable, safe, and permissible ways for other people to behave towards them and how they will respond when someone passes those limits. So, how does myself as a Compass member, or we as a Compass family, respond to others' personal personal boundaries? I would suggest that one of the ways is learning styles are a very important part of how we respond to the environment around us, how we experience life. And there are three major learning styles. There is the visual, what we see, the auditory, what we hear, and the kinesthetic, how it feels, our body awareness to the stimulus and the environment around us. All of these three learning styles people have, but there is always one learning style in each of us that is dominant over the others. So what we see, hear, and feel in church is constantly forming our perception and understanding of God. When we choose to be a Christian, it is important to understand and be aware of how through our choices and behaviors, we are reflecting who God is to those around us. I found that a bit sobering. So how do we consider others as more important than ourselves? How do we humbly consider others' interests above our own? Do we just lay down and anything goes and be walked on and so forth and so on? We've looked at perception. We've looked at boundaries. Now I want to take the third word, respect. This word is probably one of my all-time favorites. And those of you out here, students that have sung in my choirs and been in my programs and whatever, it is my one discipline rule, respect. Respect who's around you, who's in front of you. Respect yourself. Respect. This is an interesting concept for Christians because I believe it's a little different than how the world views it. Because the world would say respect needs to be earned. And that makes sense. But as children of God, we respect each other because we are God's children. We choose to try and see others through the eyes of Jesus. Respecting others, not because they deserve it, because it's the right thing to do. And it's important to God. In considering others are more important than ourselves, we respect each other's personal space. Okay, I need to bring somebody up front. I'm gonna pick on my grandson. Would you come up here? I know, my introvert grandson that doesn't like to be the center of attention, but I'm gonna make him such. Okay, now, here you are. Good grief, you're taller than me and I'm sitting on a stool. All right, here he is. Here he's got this all around him and it's called his personal space. So how do we enter, through what do we enter his personal space? What are some of the avenues? Through what? Through the physical space. How do we go inside here? How do we enter his physical space? Through hearing, through the words, through touching, through senses, touch, taste, smell. They all influence our perception and influence our safety. And we have a right, and I tell the kids all the time, to protect that physical space of ours, that personal space. And I don't know if I always do a good job as a nana, but I try. Anyway, this guy has good insights for me anyway and helping me understand the truth. Thank you, Parker, for letting me do that. So when we choose to leave our homes and go somewhere where there is a group of people, I have a responsibility to consider their being different from me. I am entering the space of all the people with whom I come into contact. I can't just consider what does and doesn't bother or offend me. I need to be sensitive to what may enter someone else's personal space. What are the words we use that enter that space? What visuals do we portray to somebody we are with? How are we affecting their feelings? How sensitive are we being? We've mentioned the sense of touch and smell, and they're very, very strong in influencing people's environment. We need to consider, not everyone likes to be hugged when it comes to touching. I learned that. Very, very friendly, outgoing friend of mine. Years ago, I hugged her, and she kind of, I really don't like that. But yet she was very outgoing and very friendly. Everyone didn't like to be hugged. I'm a hugger, so I got to keep thinking about that. Ooh. They might not. So I will, mostly with kids, I'll go, is it okay if I hug you? And if they say no, that's fine. I mean, that's their protection of their personal space. I had a member of our family, and Susie is my sister-in-law of the past, my sister now. But anyway, we had a member of our family that when she'd talk to you, she'd poke you. All the time, she'd poke you. Did you hear that? Did you see that? Do you like that? Do you mind that? And drove us crazy. And people that when they would know her and know they were coming, they'd kind of stand away a little bit. The body awareness of being touched and of touching, it's also a kinesthetic thing, how that feels to us. Then there's the sense of smell. Hoo-hoo. Okay, I have a daughter that we don't do candles. scented candles. We don't do scented candles. And I don't wear perfume when I'm riding in the car with her. She is sensitive to that. Does it hurt me not to wear perfume when I'm with her? No. But she's very sensitive to smell. And there are people that are extremely sensitive to smell. Not so much now, but years ago, I remember going to church at the beginning of winter when everybody would be pulling out their stuff out of mothballs. I would go and I'd like, oh, I'm sitting behind and there. I mean, the mothballs would just fill the air and it was disgusting. Not so much, you know, I don't smell that so much now, but probably because I'm old. But anyway, but the mothballs, so cleanliness. I mean, these things, it's kind of touchy to bring this stuff up, but it's very, very important. When you're getting refreshments and you're touching people's food that they're gonna eat, you know, it's important. Be respectful. Think about who's gonna follow you. Do they wanna, you know? Oh, I don't think so. They want to eat that you've just put your hair in or put your hands in or whatever. It's all about being respectful, but realizing all those things make up a certain kind of safety in the environment we're in. We sit in close proximity to others around us, so be respectful, be aware. And we can visually be distracting by getting up and down unnecessarily. Now, I believe, you know, we got to get up, we got to get down. Some people, if you can learn better or experience better getting up and standing in the back and moving around a little bit, that's great. But up and down, up and down, up and down, people that are visual, they are centered in on that, and all of a sudden the worship experience goes boop, and you have to do something to bring them back. It's just the way we are. It is just the way we are made, and we need to be respectful of each other. So there's lots of, in respecting differences, there is so much diversity that comes along with that, with personal differences and with options. And so personal differences is something I want to talk about because church, do we have personal differences in church? Can you come and bring your opinions always to church and feel safe? How do we value these other differences? And how do we respond to them? One of my favorite replies, and from my best, one of my very dear friends, Arlene Taylor, when she talks about the brain, is just when somebody's going on and on and on, and they want you to agree with them, and you don't agree with them, and you're like, you just say, well, that's one brain's opinion. We can agree to disagree. It's okay. It's okay. That's what makes energy, and that's what makes a place so fun to come to, is when there's diversity. Remember, it's not always a right or a wrong. It just can be a different. And we can't judge another's perception without understanding their life experience until we have walked in their moccasins. And there's how many? 228 feet here? 114 people that have walked on a different journey. I want to insert here just one thing about what was talked about the most in getting input from people, and that was judging. And we read about this morning. We could do a whole series on that. We could do a whole series on what a safe place is. But we will just list the top three answers that came through how not to judge that I think pretty much covered all the bases. Number one, leave the judging to God. You know, there's a lot of freedom in that. There is a lot of freedom in that. You can agree to disagree. You can have your own brain's opinion, or they can have theirs. Let God take care of it. It may not be soon enough for you, but he's going to do it in the right way and in the loving way and the way that's going to help that person. Leave the judging to God. And leave the conviction to the Holy Spirit. I think that's a big thing for us. And churches want to be the Holy Spirit. They want to tell you, you know, what's right and what's wrong and what to do and what not to do because they are convicted. But leave the conviction to the Holy Spirit. We all need to be convicted in different areas. One area may not affect me, but it's something that you need to look at, or I need to look at, and you don't need to leave to look at it. And then use Jesus as our example when he approached the Pharisees and or whoever it was that were judging this woman. And he was our example. Don't judge. You got this stuff going on down here. You got all your little private sins. I got them, let me tell you. And I don't want those written in the sand. I'll just tell you right now, I do not want those written in the sand. So judging is something that I need to constantly be aware of and respecting other people. More than answers today, I'm hoping to increase awareness. Awareness beyond our personal needs and a desire to understand and be considerate to others' needs, making others more important than ourselves. I want to emphasize and insert here that God does not expect us to remain under the influence or spend time with toxic people. We need to provide personal safety in our own lives. So the need to being, I love this, write this down, graciously functional. The need to be graciously functional and personally aware is important as we keep our surrounding environment as healthy as possible. In becoming a personally aware and graciously functional person, I personally need to constantly be asking God to make me aware, to bring understanding of others into my relationships, to be gracious and practice compassion and mercy. No matter where we are on our journey of life, we all can practice these life-changing attitudes and come closer to imitating Christ's humility. My favorite text in helping me become that better self, becoming the person God wants me to be, that person he created me to be, my prayer to him to change me and take me where I know to go, where I need to go, is found in Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful thing in me, and lead me into everlasting life. We spent a little time talking about what makes a safe environment, a safe church, and how we each can be a part of creating that environment. We've processed three important words in considering a safe environment: perception, how they differ with all our diversity, boundaries, limits, and awareness are important for safety, respect for each other's personal space, and differences. Now, the question is, or can Compass become a completely safe place? And I emphasize completely. And my answer is no. As long as churches are made up of humans, and until sin is eradicated from the earth, perhaps perceptions will be skewed, relationships will struggle, feelings will get hurt, and not all needs will be met. And not until Jesus comes and makes us new will there be any perfect place or space here on earth. This earth on which we exist, the communities where we live, Siloam Springs, Springdale, Gentry, Decatur, Springtown, Fayetteville, Gravette, Northwest Arkansas, none of these places are our final home. If we believe or think we will be able to find a completely safe place or environment, a completely safe church anywhere here on earth, we will be continually frustrated, disappointed, which often can lead, unfortunately, to bitterness. So why do we even try? Why do we create a mission statement that talks about being a fresh expression, seeking biblical truth, safety, and a need to belong, grow, and serve? This brain's opinion would leave you with this thought. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood and was killed for us. He lived a life on earth where he was always misunderstood. And even though he loved perfectly, he was betrayed by those he trusted, and most of all by the religious leaders, the conference church leaders of his day. Can you relate? Should we expect anything better in our lives than what Jesus went through for us? And I speak for myself when I say I'm far, far away from loving or responding perfectly to the things that happen in my life that are unfair. Because of God's perfect love, because of what he did to show me who his Father is, I want to praise him and thank him by living a life that points to those around me to Jesus. As a Christian, I want God's love to shine through me, helping to create an environment of safety wherever I go. I want to learn how to become a better mother, a friend, a neighbor, a nana, a teacher, a better member of this Compass family. My only safety is focusing on Jesus, learning more about him and what he wants me to become, trusting him with everything in my life, and not trusting in the false shelters and harbors that I sometimes embrace. My wise granddaughter, Michelle, gave me a book for Christmas on the seasons of the heart. It starts with winter, and the author challenges the reader to quit focusing on what the world perceives will provide for us that safe shelter that we are looking for, those false shelters that we keep reaching for, hoping to find the security that gives us value, contentment, and the happiness that seems to always elude us. Perhaps your safe shelter is the perfect job, a quiet, well-behaved children, your house, no debt, a perfect body, a perfect marriage, getting the love of your life, a perfect diet, a large income, a perfect church. None of these, and many more we can mention, will provide that safe shelter, the security we seek. If we reach these goals at any point, they will momentarily bring some happiness, but will not long-term keep us in that safe harbor. There is only one place of safety, and that's at the feet of Jesus, safe in his strong embrace, getting us through this short time of life on earth as we head for home. I leave with you this text in Psalms, and I'm going to put it on the screen, and it says, "My help and glory are in God. Granted strength and safe harbor, God. So trust him absolutely, people. Lay your lives on the line for him. God is a safe place to be." As this text remains on the screen, I want you to take a few moments, and I want you to just, however you want, I don't care, bow your heads, keep your eyes open, I don't care what you do, but embrace the words of this text and let God speak to you about possibly are some of your the false shelters in your life. Listen as he reveals them to you. Give them to him. Let him in. He wants you to be safe. He wants to keep you safe. You're his child. His love is unfailing, and he will never give up on you. Let him become your safe place.